Brothers and sisters, the passage that we'll be looking at this Easter Sunday morning is from Mark's Gospel, chapters 15 and 16. And I'm going to commence reading in Mark's Gospel from chapter 15, verse 37. It's at that particular moment that we, of course, experience and hear about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read of some of the witnesses who were there and the role of those witnesses, especially in the 16th chapter. We begin reading, as I said, in Mark chapter 15, verse 37. We read there, Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. And now we come to the passage that we'll be looking at as our text this morning. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Brothers and sisters, girls and boys, have you ever noticed when reading Mark's account of our Lord's resurrection that there is no reference there to the Lord's official disciples? To the 12. Indeed, where were the men? as Mark tells it, it is to women and through their testimony that the events of that Sunday morning we now know as Easter Sunday come to us. And what amazing, and from a human perspective, what unnerving news it was that these women were called to report. The women of Mark chapter 16 were introduced in the closing sections of the 15th chapter of Mark. They were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger and Joseph, and Salome, wife of Zebedee, the mother of James and John. These three were among a number of women who had seen the crucifixion and had personally witnessed the death of Jesus. That same day, late Friday afternoon, under immense pressure because the Sabbath would start at 6 p.m., the two Marys had met with Joseph of Arimathea. And Joseph took courage and was bold enough to go to visit Pilate and ask for the body of Jesus. Pilate himself was amazed that the Lord Jesus had already died. And so he confirmed that Jesus was dead from that centurion, a hardened soldier who would have known if Jesus was dead or not. And when he learned from the centurion that Jesus was indeed dead, Pilate gave permission for Joseph of Arimathea to take the corpse down from the cross and deal with it as he saw fit. After taking the body down from the cross, we read that Joseph himself wrapped the body and placed it in a newly hewn tomb. And then a large stone was rolled in front of the entrance. Now the women had been there with Joseph and had seen the tomb and had seen Jesus' body being placed there. They knew the spot. At any rate, the next day was a Sabbath, a day of preparation, a Saturday, a day of for a feast and for rest. And therefore they could do nothing. But at 6 p.m., the Sabbath officially ends. And that evening, the three women, the Marys and Salome, purchased perfumed spices. This with a view of anointing these spices upon the body of the Lord Jesus, a common sign in those days of love and respect for the deceased. Very early on that Sunday morning, the first day of the week, the women set out to the tomb. The day was just beginning. And as they're walking towards the tomb, a discussion comes up. Obviously, they knew nothing about the seal or the soldiers who were guarding it, but the discussion centered on the fact that how would they be able to access the body of the Lord Jesus, since Joseph of Arimathea had placed a large stone in front of it to seal it. They were women. They lacked muscle. They would need brute strength in order to remove that very large stone. Still deep in discussion, they arrive at the tomb. Imagine their amazement. Indeed, feel the way their hearts started to thump and jump into their throat as they saw the stone had been moved. Somebody else had rolled away that stone. What's going on here? What's happening? Who? What? Tell us more. What's going on here? Something had surely happened. And you can see them creeping closer, looking at the tomb from the outside, and then going into the large antechamber at the beginning of the tomb, and then looking to the spot where the body of the Lord Jesus had been laid on that Friday afternoon. To say that they were terrified, apprehensive, afraid and trembling is probably an understatement. But as they're standing there in the antechamber of that tomb, looking to the spot where the body of Jesus had been laid, they see that it was not an empty tomb after all. There's a man there dressed in white, and we know that that was an angel, and he's sitting on the right side of the tomb. He was most certainly waiting for these women. He was there with a message that he was to pass on from God himself. And he sees these three trembling women, and he says to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Sisters, stop trembling and shaking. Start thinking and listening. You're about to be given a message that is going to stun the disciples. Be sure to get it right, for what you are going to tell them is going ultimately to transform and turn the whole world upside down. Listen carefully. Let there be no confusion or ambiguity. So stop being afraid. Do not be alarmed. First and foremost, the angel confirms the identity of whom these women were looking for. You seek Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. Yes, you're at the right tomb. Yes, you're at the right place. No, this is not the wrong tomb. No, this is not the wrong place. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the Nazarene, who was crucified. And then comes the next passage. You seek Jesus of Nazarene, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. He has risen. He has risen. He is physically absent from the tomb. He is not here. Look at the exact spot where you laid the body just a few days back. The tomb is empty. Look closely. The body is no longer here. It is gone, not because somebody stole the body, not because somebody has hidden it, but because he is risen. Let that sink in. He is risen. He is no longer in the tomb because, and here's the explanation, he is risen, meaning he's no longer dead. He's alive. He is risen. Look at the empty tomb. Convince yourselves you are not dreaming. No, nobody. Are you convinced? The tomb is definitely, emphatically empty because he is risen. And sisters, here's your task. Go, tell his disciples, yes, and the disgraced Simon Peter as well, go tell the disciples he is risen and that the living Jesus is going before you to Galilee. Tell them to go there in the expectation of seeing him alive. Tell them to believe your testimony that the tomb is empty. Tell them the explanation that I, the angel, have given you, that the reason for the empty tomb is the fact that Jesus is risen. Tell them that if they believe Jesus is risen, they will go home to Galilee. There they will see him. Unbelievable. Well, is it? Is it impossible that Jesus has risen? And the angel says, don't you remember what he told you when he was still alive? Be with you over and over again. Remember how he foretold what would happen to him, that he must be put to death, but that after 3 days he would rise again. Remember how he said this, not just once, but many times. And now, do you believe it? Do you believe that what Jesus foretold about himself has, in fact, happened? If you do, then go to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Brothers and sisters and girls and boys, there, as per Mark's gospel, is the evidence upon which you are now asked to make the greatest and most important decision and choice that we as human beings can make. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you, having read the gospel, having come to this point in the gospel of Mark, do you believe what he said? Do you believe his testimony, all that he said and taught? And will you now, if you believe this, as an act of faith, live out the rest of your life trusting, believing, following, and imitating Jesus as the Son of God, who has given his life as a ransom to pay for and set you free from the power of sin? Will you now submit your heart and your life to Jesus as Lord? The climax of Mark's gospel is certainly to face up to these particular questions. On what basis can you say, I believe? Well, examine the basis for your belief for a moment. We have heard and witnessed the death of Jesus. And now, 3 days later, we stand inside the tomb looking at it through the eyes of these three women. What do we see? What do you see? What do I see? Well, the tomb is empty. Now, it's rather amazing, isn't it, that Mark's gospel stops at the empty tomb. And indeed, it leaves us only with the explanation that the tomb was empty because Jesus had risen and had gone to Galilee, where he would meet with the disciples. In other words, just as he said, stand by that tomb and believe that it is empty, not because somebody stole the body, not because somebody has invented a lie to say, well, let's just believe in the idea that the spirit of Jesus lives on, body or not. But stand in that tomb, see the empty tomb, and then in your heart say, Jesus lives. And as you say, Jesus lives, dedicate your life to saying, and I will take him at his word. I will take that living word, what we call the Bible today, and say, this is the living Jesus speaking to me today. Will you, do you, and let's confirm or reconfirm this, do you, will you take Jesus at his word and believe that the tomb was empty because he lives? Come on, make that commitment. Now, significant that you have to rely, according to Mark's gospel, on the testimony of women. Note well that at that time, the common attitude and Jewish law pronounced women to be ineligible as witnesses. Sorry about that, sisters. Women in those days had no official status as legal witnesses. According to men, they were not to be believed or trusted because they were women. Yet God, in his wisdom, chose women as the primary or the first witnesses to the death, burial, and ultimately to the resurrection of Jesus. It is women who were commissioned to pass on the message. Why women? True, an interesting touch is that these women who first came to the tomb would have been physically incapable of removing the stones themselves. Hence, they themselves could not have done something to remove the body, even if they'd wanted to. But more important, the resurrection, the physical coming to life, back to life of Jesus, lies and is at the very heart of the gospel. The truth about the resurrection, the fact that the tomb was empty and that an angel was there to direct the people, depends on the testimony of these women. As witnesses, they have no status. Therefore, you have to make up your mind, not by relying on the status of the witnesses, but by looking at the evidence itself. Ultimately, and I pray that here the Holy Spirit works in your heart and mine, it is only ultimately as the Lord Jesus, as the Holy Spirit opens your eyes and your heart and your mind that you can see and accept the testimony of Scripture. He is not here. He is risen. Death no longer is the stronger. Hell itself is captive led. You see, I believe in the resurrection. And I believe any person can only believe in the resurrection, the physical resurrection of Jesus, contrary to all the evidence that we have that this is impossible. Why? Because it is the Holy Spirit opening your heart and eyes and mind as mine as well, to be able to hear and to say, He has risen. Where's your commitment? Mark chapter 16, verse 8 shows how incredibly difficult and unbelievable these first moments of that Sunday morning were. We see three severely shaken, trembling women who are, as our translation says it, afraid, who are in such a state of shock that their tongues stick to the roofs of their mouths. It would appear to me that the only part of their body capable of functioning at this point was their legs. Flight is the one thing that of which they were still capable. Think about what they were commanded to do. They, women, must convince the men that the tomb is empty because he has risen. They must convince the disciples and Peter to believe them and their explanation. And they must convince the disciples to make the long journey back to Galilee. Go back to Galilee, believing what we women have told you. Believe us, men. Believe us, people. Believe us, 21st century. He has risen. That's the reason why the tomb was empty. Now, in one way, you can't blame the women with the enormity of this task placed upon their shoulders for being afraid. However, we do know that subsequently, the women did break the silence. They stopped trembling and being overwhelmed by that paralyzing sense of bewilderment. They began to speak. And first of all, the disciples declared them emotionally unbalanced of having gone over the edge into the gray region of insanity. They spoke up. They told the disciples and were thus instrumental in creating a chain of events that reads right up to this morning. Today, brothers and sisters, girls and boys, today the report of Christ's resurrection continues to go out. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if Christ has not been raised, then we are no more than merchants of a story that has no basis. But if Christ has been risen, brothers and sisters, it's the greatest world news that the world has ever heard. It's the news that death and that suffering and that pain and that the sinfulness of this world is not going to continue forever. Death has been swallowed up in victory. You know, I often ask myself, what makes me a Christian? What gives me the kind of life that I have lived? It's the fact, brothers and sisters, that I believe that death has been conquered, that death is not the last word. It is my belief, brothers and sisters, that the teaching of Jesus is that one message that is able to transform and change the world. It is my utmost conviction that my help is in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only did he die for me, but he demonstrated in being risen on the third day that indeed in his death, death was conquered. Not just his death, but mine. That in his death, the curse was died, not just the curse that was upon him, but also the curse that was upon me. That in his death, we have and discover forgiveness, hope, new life, and eternity. Brothers and sisters, faith to believe. And to build your life on the fact that Jesus Christ has conquered. Isn't that what being a disciple of Jesus is all about? Isn't that what transforms you and your home and your family and ultimately is going to change the world forever? Praise God, Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you that at the heart of the message of the gospel is the fact that Jesus has risen, that death no longer is the stronger. The fact, Father, that in Jesus we see victory, not just his victory, but also that in and with Jesus we see our own, that we may know that with Jesus, even if we have to go to a cross, no matter what we suffer in this life, it won't be the last thing. For with Jesus, we die and are raised to eternal life. Father, may this gospel, may this great news, may this wonderful proclamation of Jesus carry us, convert us, challenge us, and give us hope that will never be disappointed. Father, hear our prayer. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.